When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia.
James Beattie, oh, Belter!
Mané for a hat-trick! That's an unbelievable hat-trick to Sadio Mané!
Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley!
Graziano Pelle with a left-foot strike!
Walcash lifts it, and he's got it in as well!
And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of In That Number, episode 130. Title, Mush?
Oh, bollocks. Are we going with At Home Under the Hammers?
We certainly are. I'm glad you're right on the ball today, Kevin. Yes,
yeah.
At Home Under the Hammers. Fantastic. Today, we will discuss the return of the Premier League and the second home game of the season against West Ham. We have Tim joining us, as usual, to preview our probably ill-fated trip to the Etihad next Saturday. We have the usual news, including the first player and goal of the month of the season, and an international roundup from the Moscow Mush. All this and much more. But first, let's get him in, shall we? The Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Or are we out on deck this week? I don't know.
Yeah, at least that's what I think they've been calling me.
How are you, anyway?
I'm all right.
Yeah, all right. Just all right. Nice break from the Saints.
Yeah, it's you know, you think, a week or two off would be nice, actually. But I've kind of been missing watching some quality football, because to be honest, the qualifiers and friendlies don't really interest me as much as the league.
No, I mean, it's good to be back, Premier League-wise. I mean, I hate weekends with no domestic football. Isn't it like an empty feeling? And I'm like you, I don't really enjoy watching England as much as I used to, especially after, you know, the Euros in the summer. It's still still a bit sore, but yeah,
that gestalt's still open.
I'm okay, thanks for asking.
Good. I didn't even have to ask.
I'm a bit sleepy, grumpy. In fact, I think I've been all the Seven Dwarfs over the past few days, apart from Happy.
Sorry to hear that, mate.
You know me. You know me. Yeah, what have you been up to anyway?
Working, just catching up on watching all of the stuff that I've missed. Not much, really.
Good, good.
Although, this morning, yeah, I did have a trip to the heliport, but I wasn't flying, unfortunately.
Yes, I did see this. Yeah, I saw your picture. It was, how was it? How did it all go?
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, but it was a present for the in-laws for their birthday, send them up in the helicopter.
Wait, they share a birthday?
There was only a few days apart, so yeah. I got a joint present. I mean, it wasn't cheap. it was really interesting. I've never been to a heliport before. It felt like a little kid.
Right, should we get into some ITN news, Kevin?
Yeah, we got some.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, Kev, shall we kick off with the international roundup?
I mean, there's a couple of things that are happening outside of the internationals. Yeah, Theo is injured, apparently.
Yep.
That's why he wasn't in the matchday squad yesterday. Yes, Stu's still got that kneeling calf injury. Thierry Small's been having issues with his knee, apparently.
Yeah, that's a new one.
I mean, I don't really see a way for him into the squad at the moment anyway.
No, but possibly about against Sheffield United in the Carabao Cup, he could see some action if he's fit.
If he's fit, yeah. Sure. All right, international roundup. Okay, I'm going to take these in alphabetical order just for variety's sake. So we'll start with Che McAdams. Yeah, he took part in all three of Scotland's World Cup qualifiers. He was in the starting lineup in the 2-0 loss in Denmark on the 1st of September. He played 71 minutes there, not particularly spectacularly. He didn't start the 1-0 win over Moldova on the 4th of September, but he was subbed on in the 61st minute. He then started and won the decisive penalty in the 1-0 away win over Austria 3 days later, and according to some people, man of the match performance that riled Ralph Hasenhüttl for all the right reasons, as he alluded to in his pre-match press conference. Did you hear that?
I didn't, no. I'm curious. What was this?
Yeah, he said he was going to have words with Che after that, after beating Austria with Scotland.
Oh, of course. I didn't put two and two together then when you said that. Of course, yeah.
Right. Yeah. From A to B, Jan Bednarek, he was also included in the Poland squad for all three of their World Cup qualifiers. He played a full 90 minutes and picked up a yellow card in Poland's 4-1 home win against Albania on the 2nd of September. He was an unused sub in the 7-1 win in San Marino on the 5th of September. So, I mean, they didn't keep a clean sheet against San Marino, but you can't really blame Jan Bednarek for this one. Yeah, Janek came back 3 days later, putting a solid 90 minutes in Poland's 1-0 draw with England in Warsaw on the 8th of September. Did you watch that one at all?
Little bits.
Just a highlight, yeah. I mean, that was edgier than it needed to be, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Armando Broja.
I think it's pronounced Broja.
I did have a look. I've been in the off season. I've been learning a bit of Albanian, and
of course you have. I mean, why wouldn't you?
What else are you going to do with that weekend off? And it turns out it is Broja.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can pass it on. I don't imagine anyone's going to pronounce it that way. But
well, we've had Broja, Broja, Broja. Yeah, we've had it all.
Broja, Broja. Like, he's not Spanish, he is Albanian, so yeah, Broja it is.
Broja, okay, I have to remember that.
Yes, I'm going to fuck it up by the end of this sentence. But he had a role in two of Albania's three World Cup qualifiers. He wasn't included in the matchday squad for the 4-1 loss to Poland on the 2nd of September, but Eduardo Reyes, he learned his lesson and started him in their home match against Hungary on the 5th, in which I'm going to call him Armando Broyadonna. Scored an absolute wonder goal. Brilliant solo run, classy finish to seal the deal and get the winner in the 87th minute to beat Hungary 1-0. I do like to see Hungary beaten these days, you know.
Why is that?
Just because of their horrific racist fans. Yeah, they really anger me, so fuck them.
Yeah.
As much as I like Hungarian people, yeah, their fans aren't the best. But yeah, I mean, he almost repeated that yesterday, didn't he?
He did, a nice little solo run.
Yeah, it was very similar. And then on the 8th, he came on in the second half to score one and assist another in Albania's 5-0 outing against San Marino. And there you are. Moussa Djenepo, he played the full 90 and he did win a penalty in this match. That was against Rwanda.
I mean, it wasn't against Chad. Jesus.
Yeah, I think that one was cancelled again. But yeah, they were playing Rwanda. He played the full 90 minutes. He won a penalty, took the penalty, and the penalty was saved. But it didn't really matter because they came out 1-0 winners anyway. He didn't get to play at the St. Mary's Stadium, would you believe it? It's called.
Is it really? Oh, wow. Good work. I didn't know that.
Uganda. Every Saints fan's secretly a fan of Uganda as well. Yeah, that 0-0 draw, dull as it was, didn't include Djenepo in the squad. Mo Elyounoussi, he started all three of Norway's World Cup qualifiers. He played 90 and got a booking in their 1-1 draw with the Netherlands on the first. He scored the second goal, a tiny little left-footed finish, in their 2-0 win over Latvia. And he played 81 minutes in their 5-1 home destruction of Gibraltar on the 7th. So all of those players, right? I mean, they've played two or three international games in the space of a week. So it's no wonder, really, that none of them were included in the starting lineup.
Djenepo was.
Yeah, but I mean, he only played one match, and that was like right at the beginning on the 1st of September. So he did get a good, 10 days, 11 days rest.
That's fair enough. We don't have any Brazilians, do we? Actually, we got Lianco, but he wasn't involved.
No, yeah. Yeah, so a few others. Tino Livramento, another man at the moment. Yeah, he played the first England Under-21s qualifier that he was supposed to be included in. That was called off due to a COVID outbreak in Romania. So he missed his chance there, but he did get his first cap in England's Under-21s 2-0 win over Kosovo on the 7th. Shane Long, yeah, I think maybe we said this before, but he had to withdraw from the Ireland squad because he tested positive for the Rona. So, he didn't take part in Ireland's internationals against Portugal and Azerbaijan. I think, that's why Cristiano Ronaldo managed to get those goals off. It's because Shane wasn't there.
That's it. That's the only reason.
And one little mention, Thierry Small, was included in the larger squad for the England under-18s. They played Wales in a friendly, which ended 1-1. But as far as I see, he wasn't actually playing at all in that match. So didn't see any action.
Knee injury.
Knee injury, yep. That explains it. That's the international roundup.
That's it. Good work, Kevin. Good work. I've got to hear your voice again, I'm afraid, because you're going to announce the player and goal of the month.
All right, I'll keep my vocal cords going. We gave all of our followers and other people a chance to vote for their player of the month. Our four choices were Adam Armstrong, Mo Salisu, Mo Elyounoussi, and Tino Livramento. Did hear it was a little bit unfair to lean about Redmond. Wouldn't have mattered because Tino absolutely swept it with 71% of the vote.
Well done.
He's our official player of the month for August and goal of the month.
A lot to choose from.
A dirty dozen, yeah. It was difficult to get it down to four, but we did manage that. You got Adam Armstrong's opener against Everton, Breuer's against Newport, the second one, Ridman's against Newport, and KWP's first half goal against Newport. Again, running away with it this time, Adam Armstrong, 78% of the vote.
I think the only reason he ran away with that is because people couldn't remember which goal was which in that Newport destruction. So I think it was just easier to give it to Adam Armstrong. Maybe it was the moment as well, being that it was his first game in the Premier League for Saints and Yeah, it was a nice, nice finish because he
put it. Fucking fabulous finish.
Yeah, he took it top corner when he didn't need to, did he really? Just gave Pickford no hope whatsoever. But yeah, a good, classy finish from a classy number nine. So yeah, well deserved, Adam Armstrong.
Yes.
I do want to say something, Kevin. Michael Obafemi completed his transfer to Swansea on deadline day. Kevin, I know you're a fan of him, and I guess it's always sad to see an academy graduate leave. But yeah, this one, I am a little bit upset about this one, to be honest. I mean, because academy graduate, you put a lot of stock into, you really, really hope they're going to make something of themselves at this club. And when it doesn't quite happen, it's a little bit sad to see him go. But, you know, he became a Republic of Ireland international, 39 appearances for Saints, 5 goals. And we'll always remember that last gassed equaliser at Old Trafford. So,
oh, yes.
Wish him the best of luck at Swansea.
Yeah, definitely. It's a frustrating one. I mean, I've heard people slag him off all the time saying he's shit. I think his performances don't match his potential. I think he's got a good future ahead of him if he wants it. But, yeah, I mean, well, you know, the rumours of him, well, the reports of him going out to Budabar and playing silly buggers with Jan Valery and that sort of thing. Yeah, annoys me. But yeah, because there is a chance there. I mean, we've got Armstrong, Che.
You can't really count Long, really, can you, it? Really? You can't really count Long.
Well, we've got Wrong, Breuer's on loan anyway.
Breuer's on loan, and let's face it, Tuchel's not going to let him go now, is he? So yeah, there was a chance for him. I just don't think that he and Ralph were on the same page.
Yeah, probably not. But another thing that's incredible is the fee you went for. Was it just 2.5 million?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good bit of business from Swansea.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, if they can get him to get his head down, they could have a bit of a bargain there. But yeah, best of luck to him. Good luck in the promotion charge.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of promotion charges, Kane Ramsey at Crewe. I say that through gritted teeth, of course, because they're struggling. Played no part in Crewe's 1-0 away win at Shrewsbury Town in the Papa John's Trophy. Yesterday, they played Shrewsbury again. And he played as a wing-back, and they drew 1-1. Did once again pick up his customary booking. That's his fourth of the season now. That's mental.
Get himself suspended soon.
Yeah. They remain second from bottom. They picked up 1 point in their last 5, so not great stuff from Crewe. Dan and Linda lose Lincoln. Big, big win for the Imps yesterday. They won 5-1 at Cambridge. However, Dan and Lindelöf sat on the bench for the whole duration, but the win does lift Lincoln up to 16th now. So that was good. That was well needed for them because they were struggling also. And Will Ferry's Crawley, 2-1 win against Carlisle United, played 61 minutes and picked up a booking. What have we done to these lads, eh? Years of watching Romeo, I guess. And who also picked up a booking yesterday.
Yeah, fairly quickly.
Yeah, and I think that's why he probably got substituted off. But yeah, Crawley...
Brawling off the bottom of the table.
They are 19th in League 2, so yeah, not great. 23rd, 16th and 19th from our loanees. B team! Not much better either. Lost 2-1 away to Middlesbrough. A goal from Kazim Alegbi with our goal. And last week was the Premier League Cup against Arsenal and a 1-1 draw. A goal from Caleb Watts. And Friday night, Fulham away, lost 3-0. Okay, you know, Fulham are setting the standards this season so far, but very disappointing again. Bojack's really going through it at the moment, isn't he? And still bottom of the league. I don't know what's going on. A lot of injuries in that Fulham game. So a lot of under-18s had to come in, and it's a young team, obviously. But it's getting even younger. And they're just not gelling very well, are they? They're struggling in this league also.
Bloody hell. Can we end on a high note?
The women's not letting us down at all. They have been absolutely incredible. They've been a joy to cover. But, you know, I want to start off with some sad news from the camp because Rachel Panting has joined Oxford. This is a sad one as well because she's been a massive part of the team's recent success. You know, role model, scores absolute bangers. Losing a big, big player, and she's got bags of experience. So I am really sad about this one because I've reached out to her a few times and, you know, with her busy work, football commitments, she still always found the time to answer my questions. And she seems like such a great person and I'm gutted she's leaving. It's a sad one. Really is sad. I'm probably more sad about this one than I am about Obafemi. But, you know, just wishing her nothing but the best for her at Oxford. And I will personally keep an eye on them now just to check how she's doing. And please, everyone, go and check out her wonder goal against Coventry, or, you know, her hit against Lewis, or any other goal she scores, because she hits them pretty well.
Yeah, that really did come as a shock yesterday when I saw the news on Twitter.
I know. You broke it to me as well. I didn't know. As soon as you sent that to me, I was like, no. But yeah, it's sad. It is sad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes it is time to move on, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But on to their results. Perfect. 5 wins from 5. It's just been amazing. After winning their third straight game against Chichester and Selsey, they had a home game against Gillingham and they only won 9-0. Goals from Ella Morris, 2 of them. Georgie Freeland, 2 of them. A hat-trick from Ella Pusey. And goals from Sophia Faroa and Kira Watling, rounding it off. Then they hit the capital to play Hounslow. And they only went and won 9-0 again.
What, another, again?
Again!
Another 3 in a row. Goals.
Two 9-0s in a row. You're a twat. Another 2 goals from Ella Pusey, a hat-trick from Kira Watling, and goals from Georgie Freeland, Sophia Farrow, and the first of the season for Shelley Proven. That's 5 wins in a row, 100% record, top of the league, 26 goals scored, 1 conceded, and that was a penalty. They've been incredible. So, you know, bring on the next. And the next actually is Cheltenham Town, and I think they're playing right now in the National League Cup. Actually, that kicks off at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So, yes, look out for that one.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay, Kevin, West Ham United yesterday, Saturday afternoon, 0-0 again, just like last year. In fact, we failed to score at home to West Ham since December 2018. That was a Redmond goal and a 2-1 loss. Me and you were in the Northern for that game, Mush. I don't know if you remember, but Felipe Anderson at the double for them.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Fucking hell, Redmond scoring a goal. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. West Ham always seem to have success against us, don't they? They've won more Premier League games against us than they have against anyone else, with a total of 58 goals scored. They've only scored more against Newcastle and Spurs. So, yeah, not a great record against them. But 0-0 this time. Some changes then. Redmond made his first start of the season. Adams dropped to the bench. Pero recalled in place of Kyle Walker-Peters. Kev, were you happy with the starters? And were you surprised that KWP not there? Surprised Redmond got the nod?
Wow, so many questions. I did have a lot of questions when the squad came out. But, I mean, yeah, thinking back to international break and how intense it was, it is understandable that someone left out. KWP left out again. We've seen him do that before, so it's nothing new. So, yeah, I mean, more or less happy. But yeah, Redmond up front, if that is what it was.
Well,
does...
sorry to interrupt. But yeah, no, when the lineups were announced, it did say it was a 4-2-2-2. But yeah, I mean, in fact, it looked like Armstrong was on his own, wasn't it? And it looked more like a 4-1-4-1 or 4-5, whatever you want to look at it. But I thought it was a 4-1-4-1, to be honest. Elianusi looked to be more central, didn't he? Redmond and Gineppo had the flanks, and James Ward-Prowse was more advanced, leaving like Romeo to protect the back four. And that's how I saw it anyway.
Yeah, although, you know, they did switch between formations and it was, you know, 5 at the back. Gineppo does like to get back in line to play left back even when he's not asked to, doesn't he? So, yeah, a lot of the time it was a 5-4-1, I suppose. 5-1-4-1. I mean, it's not an exciting lineman up, isn't it? Is it? I mean, it would just take Teller or Brody being on there for you to go, oh, fucking hell. Yeah, let's have a look at this. And the first half was pretty much as exciting as the lineup.
Yeah, and with that lineup as well, I mean, I don't think it worked out too well for James Ward-Prowse, because he seemed to be, I don't know, too deep to attack and too advanced for his usual sitting role. So he was kind of like in between. So And the way that we set up, it was kind of, we're going to sit back deep and, you know, keep the sheep. Yeah, keep shape well. And, you know, and there wasn't many chances of note, really, was there? There was that Gineppo shot that was deflected over by Craig Dawson. But other than that, that first half was pretty bleak, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think it was as boring as the same fixture last year. But
no, that's true. Yeah. You don't even remember that one, do you?
It just faded into non-existence. But yeah, I mean, Gineppo, he was looking a lot more positive. For the first half, I say Gineppo was one of the better players.
As frustrating, but
at least he tries to get the shot off and trying to get the ball to Armstrong at some points. He's pretty lonely up there, more or less on his own for most of the match.
I got to say, I felt a little bit sorry for Armstrong, because the way we were set up with that one up top, he was never going to succeed, was he? He was never going to be able to drop a bit deep and make things happen for himself. Didn't really have that support. And he's been criticised for it. But I do think his energy was evident. He was all over the place, as was Elianusi. But there was just... I don't think there was enough movement in the squad. You know, going forward, they struggled to build passes. And it was just... It was more frustrating, especially as the second half wore on as well, because we just couldn't keep the ball then, could we?
No. I mean, for patches anyway. But yeah, it confused me that Armstrong was brought off, because he wasn't that bad. I would have taken Redmond off personally.
I was screaming for Teller, to be honest, I was. But
Teller or Breuer, I'm fine with either.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Breuer, if I'm being honest. But Gineppo did make some runs into promising positions, like you mentioned. And Perrault also, there was an occasion where Perrault overlapped Gineppo and then got to whip in across. That was pleasing to see, because, you know, I want to see more of that. I want to see Perrault get into those positions and form a relationship with whoever is playing on the left, whether it's, you know, Theo, whether it's Elianusi, whether it's Stuart Armstrong or Gineppo. Then I want to see more of that from Perrault. That's what he was brought in for. That's what he did in France, you know, going around the outside of people, sticking that ball in dangerous areas, because he was doing that as well. Defensively, he wasn't bad either, because Bowen didn't get much joy, nor did Sofau, and he's been causing left-backs all sorts of problems last year.
Yeah, I think Perrault and Gineppo, they linked up really well, and Roman was putting in the odd sexy cross or two. I mean, again, nobody to get on the end of it, but yeah, like you say, that's what he's there for. I'd like to keep that that pairing for future matches. It's just, yeah, the other side that I've probably got questions about.
What do you do with the other side, though? Stuart Armstrong comes back.
When he comes back,
Theo Walcott coming back as well. Nathan Teller needs games, mate.
Well, Armstrong and Livramento on the right and Perrault and Gineppo on the left, that could be quite dangerous, couldn't it?
Where's Elianusi?
On the bench.
Yeah, this is what you get for scoring three goals this season. You're still on the bench.
Yeah,
second half, it was poor, I think, at least in the early stages anyway. And it couldn't keep hold of the ball. It was frustrating for me watching. And just lack of options. They were opting to loft it upfield, only to be dispossessed. And then, you know, had to be very switched on. And I thought Stevens and Solisi were just excellent defensively. I mean... Well, yeah, how your thoughts on that tandem?
Yeah, I mean, they were fantastic. I mean, so the Romeu and Ward-Prowse didn't really have their best match. And it was a good job that Stevens and Solisi did, because a lot of the time, especially Romeu, was poor, just losing the ball needlessly and carelessly. And Solisi and Stevens seemed to have got their partnership down well. And closing everything down, just being a bit more perceptive.
Yeah,
quite encouraging.
They're very good. Yeah, positionally superb. You know, blocks, interceptions, tackles, aerial duels, all great. Plus Stevens had that little extra. You know, carrying the ball into midfield to set Gineppo off on a few of those runs. I do question Solisi's distribution, and you know, you still feel that he needs to get used to the pace of the league, and you know. Just gain more confidence on the ball, really, but that'll come. And I can't see Bednarik and Lianco getting into the side at the moment. If those two are playing like that, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's good that we've got those options there for rotation. or if there's an injury. But yeah,
yeah.
I think I didn't think I'd be saying this, but yeah, Jack fucking Stevens and Salisu is our back pairing of choice.
I know, it seems weird, doesn't it? It does. Romeu was yanked off early for Diallo. Was that just because of the yellow, or just you think it was because he was playing poor?
Happy ending, or combination of both. I mean, he was yanked off. For a combination. It's an open goal, mate. He was poor. I mean, he was nursing that yellow from quite early on in the first half, and it was a matter of time. And it was getting quite dirty towards the end, wasn't it?
Certainly did at the end, yeah.
I mean, Jack fucking Stevens and Antonio, they went full WWE on the sidelines.
Yeah, body slam, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a weird kind of sideshow. But yeah, they both picked up a yellow. Stevens kind of cooled down, whereas Antonio didn't.
Yeah, but this is the thing. This is what we do. We've got Prowse and Zaha. Now we've got this one. We've got Stevens and Antonio for the return. And it's just like we just managed to wind people up and get them sent off.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And Stevens and Fernandes as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Look out for those in the returning games. Kevin, I was reading a lot of reports after the game as well, like I do, and seeing what everybody else thought of the game. No one was mentioning McCarthy because I thought he had a great game. I thought he dealt with every single cross comfortably. He made a great save on a Bowen volley.
Yeah, that was good.
No one mentioning him. I thought he was great. He did everything we needed him to do.
Well, I think it's because he didn't really have that much to do, to be honest.
But whatever he did, crosses included, he dealt with it 100% perfectly. No problems whatsoever. He even had the ball back passed back to him a few occasions, and there was no like turning away from the crowd head and hands, because let's face it, we all do it. But it was just comfortable. If he's not talked about, then surely he's doing a good thing if you're a goalkeeper.
I suppose so, but I mean, I've got it here in my notes. It was the 32nd minute before he made his first save. He didn't really have anything to do. They only had three shots on target, and as did we. But I think we kept Fabianski a lot busier than they did Macca.
But then he made the best save of the game, that volley, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he did spill it initially, but he then fell on top of it. And that was a bit nervy.
Oh, that was the Antonio shot, wasn't it? I'm talking about the Bowen volley that he just pushed over the bar for a corner. That was... some safe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's two quite... Yeah, I see you've got a point there. That's two quite... Out of those three, that's two quite decent saves.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying I thought he needed to be... I mean, I haven't looked at the player ratings for the game, but I'm guessing that McCarthy's not going to be that high up because, like you said, he didn't really have that much to do. But at this point of the game, I was getting really, really frustrated. I was chatting to the guy next to me and we were both saying the same thing. There was no creativity. You just... kept losing the ball. West Ham on the attack for large portions. And yeah, it just couldn't keep it. Just couldn't get anything going. Not a lot of movement. Livramento, though, Mersh. Very direct. Very different type of player that we've got, especially at the back. Because not just at the back. I mean, if you compare him with Redmond, as soon as he touches the ball, he's gone. You know, which is great. He did run into trouble on a few occasions, and there was a few stray passes too, but... I like to see it because as long as we've got sufficient backup when he goes on those little mazy runs, I'm all for it because the confidence of the lad and, you know, the pace, the willingness to make things happen. It's exciting and it's what you want to see as a fan. And just give him the ball more often, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got your centre backs on good form, then you can afford to have players like Livramento and Perot that do get a bit further forward. But, yeah, the lack of creativity. I mean, I'd say that there was some creativity in the first half. I think Gianpaolo was rather good. But, yeah, Redmond, every time he got the ball, he was absolutely awful.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With the directness of Livramento and then comparing him with Redmond, it's not even close, really, is it? I don't think it's going to work against Man City, is it? I don't think Ralph is going to be as comfortable with... Livramento making those daring runs. Let's see how his confidence is then.
But, I mean, if we can get that defensive discipline, carry that over to the next match, you know, we might be with a chance of not disgracing ourselves.
I like it. That's the best we can hope for, just not disgracing ourselves. 74 minutes, Kevin. Brojak. Ah, see? Never going to remember that. Brojak.
Brojak.
Okay. Yes. For Armstrong, pivotal moment. I mean, at this point, I was, as I said, I was hoping for Teller for Redmond. I thought this would have been perfect for Teller, someone that can, or somebody else that's willing to get the ball deep and head in the right direction. But Brojak was the decision, and a good one, and an immediate impact.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's strange that you take off Armstrong and effectively have no one up top. We're playing with, what, six in midfield? That's just, he is a forward, but he's, you know, he's not hanging up there waiting for the ball, if you see what I mean. He'll win the ball and then go on an insane run of 30, 40 yards and pull off a wonder shot. I mean, I wasn't excited at all up until he came on. I say he was maybe a bit harsh. I said yesterday that he was the only exciting thing about that match. But in comparison, he really was. He was the energy that we lacked in the first 74 minutes.
Well, Gineppo had energy. Livramento had energy.
Yeah,
Elianusi had energy, but Elianusi didn't start running off the ball.
The final product's not that. I mean, you know, they'll get the ball, run into the box, and then fall over. Whereas Brojak, every time he got the ball, you were right behind him, encouraging him to make the run and have a crack and shoot. Yeah, really unfortunate that he hit the post just, I mean, a couple of millimetres to the right, and that would have been bouncing back in the goal. And
That run, the shot, you know, from outside the box, as you said, slamming on the post. He did better with that than he had any right to, really, because he had so much to do when he put the ball up in his own half. And I didn't think he'd be coming close, to be honest. But, you know, what a great end to that week, to the week it would have been for him. But yeah, fantastic, fantastic run.
And then from the corner in the dying minutes, that header that was cleared off the line by Declan Rice. Again, inch or two more, and he would have had a goal.
20 minutes on the field, and you couldn't have asked for a better cameo from him, really, could you?
Incredible.
Kev, the ref copped a bit of flack, and rightly so. Yeah. Ralph showing his disgust and picking up a booking. Why did the ref not play on here?
I have no idea. I mean, a bit just trigger happiness. I mean, it was right in the dying seconds of the game, wasn't it? I mean, it's debatable whether it was a yellow card at all for the foul on Gineppo. There wasn't much in it. But yeah, you should have played the advantage. Gineppo, the clearance that he made it to Diallo, and he had Brojak there on the... Shit, I did it again.
You just did it, yeah.
See, I told you. Well, at least it wasn't at the end of that sentence. Yeah, he had Brojak on the break there, and we could have made another run of it, another go of it. But yeah, ref stopped play. Sent off Antonio. Yeah, thank you for that. I did captain him on my fancy football team, so that all worked out perfectly.
Sorry. my only defence, right, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, probably not welcome, but okay, I'm going to do it anyway. Defence on David Coote is this: his eyes are on Antonio and the ball, right? He's made his mind up in a split second that he's sending off Antonio straight away. His eyes aren't looking at the counter or aren't looking where the ball landed. If you watch it again, facing the other way completely. As soon as Antonio's foot's gone in, the whistle's to his lips. So he hasn't seen it. So the only thing I can suggest is that if he had have seen it, I think he would have waved play on and sent Antonio off retrospectively. That being said, he needs to be looking and he needs to see out the play. That's his job. And we should have, you know, had the chance to go and win the game at least. And Ralph and every single fan has the right to be furious with that. But yeah, just if you look at it again, he's not even looking at it. So he doesn't even know that there's a break going off.
Yeah, and that's definitely an oversight on his part.
Yeah, it's a mistake. I'm not going to defend him for that. But I didn't even know that he got sent off. I was furious with the decision. That I was just confused. I had a few messages afterwards saying, what did you make of that? And I just said I was confused because I don't know why he stopped the play, thinking that he'd seen it go. And then didn't. But when I look back at it, I thought, he hadn't even bloody looked. And then it wasn't until I was on the way home that I realised that Antonio got sent off. I did a Chris Kamara. Didn't know. I was so furious. I was looking at Ralph because he was going mental. But yeah, I just didn't notice. Brilliant.
So you didn't know that Antonio had been sent off?
Nope, not at all.
Right.
I was too busy like looking at the other way. I was just like getting involved with the fans and like, you know, showing my disgust and shouting abuse to the ref and stuff. I didn't I didn't see him leave the field. I was just enraged.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been confusing if you'd missed the incident and seen Antonio be sent off and then Ralph complaining about it.
Exactly. In my defense, it was the other side of the field to me. So yeah, that's what I'm going with. And I was angry. I wasn't drunk. I was angry. But it was a point nevertheless. And look, West Ham have been playing well this season. The goals have been easy for them so far. But, you know, we stopped them. We defended deeper. Antonio was kept quiet. But we do need that spark going forward because we can't play with one up top. And we need to find that balance, don't we? We got it right behind the ball, but we should have been so much better with it. And the movement, I think, is a big issue.
Yeah, but I mean, on the whole, I mean, it was the plan to play a little bit differently, sit, like you said, a little bit deeper, try and get the chances on the counter-attack. And Ralph admitted that much after the match. And I think it did work well. West Ham didn't have much luck in front of goal, just like United before them. And when we piled on the pressure, we had the better of the chances. And it could have easily gone our way and we could have come away with 3 points. So I think fair play to Ralph for trying it. But some of the performances were lacklustre, and how Redmond played 90 minutes is beyond me.
Do you think that Ralph was setting us up to not lose as opposed to go for the win?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you can't blame him. West Ham are a good side. They're playing well, and they always beat the shit out of us, basically. And with, you know, having an informed striker like Antonio and dealing with him and frustrating him to the point that he gets sent off, I mean, that's definitely a success.
Oh, yes, I agree. I'm going to focus on the main man at the moment, Broja. Had a good week for Albania, as you said, riding that wave, named on the bench. I just turned 20 on Friday, by the way. So, yeah, happy birthday. Could have been one of the best weeks of his life, couldn't it, if he'd have got the winner there. He came on with 20 minutes to go, and he's had the best two chances of the game. Just a fantastic effort. And I'm going to ask you, do you think he's going to start against Man City?
That's a tough one.
Shea likes a goal against City, just putting it out there.
Yeah, you would want to try them together. Maybe having them as a super sub could be an option there. But I think, you know, when we're playing teams that are a little bit weaker than City, you would want to see him in the start.
Yeah.
Against Sheffield United.
Yeah, definitely needs to start that, definitely. He scored two goals in the last round, don't forget. Did you get any stats, Kevin?
Just the regulars, 58% possession for West Ham to our 42. We had 11 shots, 3 on target. They had 14, 3 on target. We had 5 corners, they had 4. A lot of fouls, 10 fouls we had, and 12 for them. Yeah, it's quite a few yellow cards dished about.
The stats would suggest a fair even match then.
Yeah, XG 0.67 to 0.73.
Who was the best XG?
Slightly better to West Ham, 0.73.
That's surprising.
So a draw, yeah, it's a fair result.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, a point was well deserved. But I mean, the stats don't show what could have been if the ref had done his job properly, really, do they? But, you know, I don't want to dwell on that anymore because that doesn't show up on the stats.
No, there's nothing you can do about it. No, it's not like VAR can say, like, oh, yeah, no, given that run on.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Man of the match, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about most of the other performers, but yeah, Salisu, the wall, he kept Antonio at bay well. Look at him. I think he won more duels than a game of Candy Crush. Yeah, Mo Salisu.
Okay, well, I think Broja needs to be in contention, right? Because, you know, but he didn't have long, did he? So, but in that time, he got me out of my seat more than anyone. But I think, yeah, you're right. It has to go with one of the back two because they nullified Antonio. Tackles, interceptions, blocks, passes, carries, whatever. But I'm going to go with Stevens just because he adds that extra string to his bow and with his ball carrying. He made that trip to midfield on a number of occasions. And yeah, I'd have to give it to him for that. But I just wish that we'd get this version of Stevens every week because it's just too inconsistent, isn't it?
Yeah, and he seems to have got his communication sorted.
Yeah, they've got their role sorted. But we don't need a Bednarek coming into the team now and disrupting that, right?
Well, no.
No. No, 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 indeed. 14th in the league now, 3 points, three draws and a loss. Man City next.
Piece of piss.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
Okay, now we'd like to welcome Tim. Tim, how are you and your thoughts on yesterday?
So last weekend, I got stung by two hornets when I was out on a walk and a hike in the Blue Ridge Mountains on tennis in Virginia. And last night we had a hornet's nest that was in our deck or on the top of our deck area. So I sprayed that at night and they just kamikaze dive bombed out straight into me. And I got stung twice again.
Oh, my God.
I have four. And within 6 days, I've been stung by a hornet four times and it hurts and it stings. And I'm all sorts of bitchy right now. So not a fun person.
That's bad. That's bad luck.
Yeah.
So, what? Tim, preview Man City first, then.
Yeah, Man City. Nickname?
Citizens, assholes, champions.
Take them all, yeah. So, yeah, that game is Saturday the 18th of September, 3 o'clock kickoff. But that's at the Etihad Stadium. Famous fans, go.
Gallagher's.
That's it. That's all you can do. Okay, I got Liam Gallagher, Noel Gallagher, Timothy Dalton, Freddie Flintoff, Damon Goff, but a badly drawn boy. Ricky Hatton, Johnny Marr. Yes, and Johnny Marr. Tim, the champions then, in their own backyard. Doesn't get much tougher than that, right? But, I mean, I suppose the only silver lining, if there is one, they play their opening Champions League fixture on Wednesday night against Leipzig. Are their heads going to be in this more than us? You know, could be a good time as any to go to the Etihad. Plus, you know, 90% of their squad has been involved in internationals recently. So little old underestimated Saints sandwiched in the middle of them. Can we exploit this at all? Or rather, will City allow us to exploit
them? Yeah, I was just about to say that, because not only do they have the Champions League on Wednesday, the 15th, they've got us butted up against, well, Wickham at home on for the Carabao Cup, their cup, as in Man City, since they win that thing all the damn time, on the 21st. So what I'm really hoping for is that they just keep their heads a little bit different and they're having their different perspective all the time, because hopefully, you know, we can muster out some sort of semblance of a successful, you know, game. I know we played that 5-2 game where we got scored a few goals, had a good attacking opportunities, but obviously leaked at the back. So I'm hoping that that's not the case. But leading into it all, so Man City, they lost their first game against Tottenham with Spurs 1-0, and then they've been on a tear ever since. Although they didn't really have a tear yesterday, when they just beat Leicester 1-0. So going into that, they're obviously the champions. They didn't win the UCL, so that's their that's what they're pushing for right now. Grealish, brand new this year, £100 million release clause. Beyond that, Aguero left over the summer, and I'm sure they're going to miss him. They're going to build a statue of him, but they didn't fully replace him. They expect Ferran Torres to be the center forward, which is crazy to think about, since they have so many wingers that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, Pep doesn't like number nines, does he? He just plays his midfielders up there. He can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, he just and they used to put Gabriel Jesus up there, and Jesus is much better on the right wing. So let's hope that he stick Jesus up there, because that would be best for us, because he does not thrive in that position as he does in right wing, which he dominates. So normally they have a 4-3-3, but because it's us, I expect it to be much more of a 3-4-3 if we sit back, which is also to be expected. With those lineup of games, it's a complete crapshoot picking who's going to be in the Man City lineup. It's really, really hard. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't. You guys don't. Outside of Ederson is pretty much the stable point. He's in there. Zach Steffen is out with COVID, their backup. And so Scott Carson's been the deputy on the bench just in case things go on. Looking at their left back rotation, oh, geez. You know, they've got Zinchenko. Akai's played there. And he's played – if they're doing a 3-4-3, he'll be the left side center back, but he's also played as a left back. Cancelo is normally a right back, but he's deputized over on the left side because he is clearly the best option between those. And then obviously I won't mention his name, but they've lost another left back for the rest of his career. Beyond that, pick with center comes the center backs. Pick your poison: Nathan Ake, Laporte, Diaz, Stones. Two of those four are gonna be there. And then you've got Kyle Walker, which is probably gonna be the right back. Or if they wish to give Walker a break, Cancelo will be the right back for them. Tons of midfield options, tons of rotation. They usually play with one DM, and that's either Rodri or Fernandinho. I've just picked Fernandinho because I feel like Rodri is going to play against Red Bull Leipzig, and they're going to rotate Fernandinho in, or vice versa. So if Fernandinho plays against Leipzig, then it'll be Rodri. Then KDB will be rotated in, and Gundogan. Foden is finally coming back from injury, so I expect him to play against us and or definitely play against Wickham. I don't think he'll play against Leipzig. I don't think they're going to push him out just yet. And Grealish is the man. He's been locked in every starting matchup, so I expect him to play all the Premier League games. He definitely won't play against Wickham, and I expect him, though, to be rotated in either in either starting and subbed out or as a sub in against Leipzig. Just because he's got so many miles on him playing with the internationals as well. Looking at our key battle. So last week or 2 weeks ago when we talked about it, Antonio was the difference maker. He's strong and physical. And guess what? Stevens and Solisi shut him down, and I love it. It was fantastic from them. They are obviously a great 1-2 punch in that game. Solisi was my man of the match. I feel like he was literally everywhere. Stevens, you know, doing his shit talking throughout the way, got that first yellow card, which then got Antonio sent off with a red card. Love it. Sorry about you, you fantasy players who had
Kevin,
him in the lineup.
Kevin.
I did not. I never buy into Antonio because I feel like he's going to get injured. I did not expect him to get a red card though. So he'll play against whomever they're playing in Europa on Thursday and then be out against whomever they're playing. I think they're playing United.
They got Man United next Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, so he'll be out against United.
Red Star Belgrade. I don't know.
Zagreb, Dynamo Zagreb.
Dynamo Zagreb, that's yeah. It.
So he'll play a full 90 against them as long as his lower back injury, which he kind of had, was showing up. And then eventually he'll pull a hammy and be out for between 6 to 8 weeks throughout the rest of the year. So there's tons of rotations. So the problem is you don't know who is going to be there. If any of the outfield players that I expect to play more than anybody else, I feel like it's going to be Grealish. So it's a matter of controlling Grealish, and being able to maintain him. So it's all over the place. I don't know what to expect, but I do think they'll push for a 3-4-3, but more likely just that 4-3-3. Our formation. We played pretty much a 4-1-4-1 this past week,
yeah.
Where we sat back and it really slipped up West Ham. And I want to give props to Ralph for that. It definitely lacked teeth going forward, and only until Broha came on was when we had any sort of semblance of chances. And that to me was a great opportunity for him to showcase his skills. So what's going to happen? If you look back at the previous Man City games, we've rotated in a couple of different players. Weird. We played Stevens as like a center, as kind of like a DM in one of the games. I think it's going to be more of a pure 5-3-2 with Bednarek, Salisu, and Stevens. And then I think Walker Peters is going to be on the left, similar to how he was against Man United and trying to control Jadon Sancho or whomever was in the right wing at that time. I think Sancho started.
Yeah.
And then Livermento on the right. I don't think Perot deserves to be dropped, but I think Walker Peters is better, a little bit more better defensively, although Perot can step it up and be just fine.
I thought Perot was excellent yesterday.
Yeah, it's such a good problem where we thought our fullback depth was going to be absolute ass, and now we have we've got Thierry Small, who's deputized. I don't think he's not going to see the field until the Carabao Cup game, which is going to be exciting.
If he's fit enough, yeah, he's out with a knee injury at the moment.
Okay. seeing all that. If we're doing a 5-3-2, then Ward-Prowse, Romeu, and Ilyanussi alongside, I think with the two up top, I think it's going to be Adams and Broja. I think Broja's going to earned his piece, and he's going to get in. And Armstrong, if he was sitting on the ground for a little bit, might need a little bit of a break, and he could definitely run him down and be a menace later on in the game if we're holding a draw, a 0-0, 1-1 draw. But more than likely, he'll be chasing down to try and hopefully see that a mistake will be given by Zinchenko or Akai or whomever else is playing in the back there and try and skate one through.
Excellent, Tim. Prediction from you then?
3-1.
To Saints, yeah?
No. 3-1. I do think we'll score. I really do. I think that's just – I think they can leak enough, and they're going to have a lapse of judgment, but ultimately they'll have three.
I think City are going to have three also, and I don't think Saints are going to score at all. I think it's going to be completely controlled. Just a natural performance from Man City, a nice coasting victory. So, yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 City. How about you, Mish?
I'm slightly more optimistic. Don't see us getting a goal either, though. I think that City will come out 2-0 victors.
Okay. Alex also agrees with you, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
He thinks 2-0 City. Gemma is going for the same as I did, a 3-0 City. And Caitlin is going for a 2-1 City.
Yeah, and what about Abby?
It's 3-0 as well. Oh. She didn't think they were going to score because she watched the game for me while I was playing soccer earlier. And she's like, this team does not have any attack. Like, they barely touch.
She knows what she's talking about. Yeah, I say
she's learning
as well.
She's learning.
but that is because of the way we set up, right? I mean, I think Adams is probably going to play against City, isn't he? So we'll have a slightly different formation.
Yeah. Marina?
That being said, yeah, Marina agrees with Caitlin that we're going to lose 2-1.
Every single one. All eight of us going for City wins. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Perfect. Yes, that is it for Tim. You obviously are working right now, aren't you? So you need to get back to work. But yeah, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat to us again today and preparing us for the daunting task that is Manchester City.
Yeah, wish you all the best. And
go
damn,
and
it's gonna
go
be a tough
and treat
one.
Those hornet stings, will you?
Yeah, they hurt.
Christ, what can you do to treat the hornet sting? Just
Benadryl. Benadryl like cream, so Benadryl pills,
whiskey,
slow the reaction. There's a cream to soothe it, and you can put ice packs on it as well.
Yeah, and whiskey just to.
Actually, that's not a half bad idea. I might take a shot later.
Yeah,
just how I feel.
Quite a few.
If it gets really bad, I think I'll.
Where you said power drill the first time I
heard. Yeah, don't do that. That's right, yeah, Tim. Thanks, mate, and I'll speak to you next week.
Appreciate it.
All right, see you, Tim.
Bye now.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitia, and thank you for listening to In That Number.
Okay, extra time. We start, as usual, with the predictions then. West Ham. We all went West Ham wins. Actually, no, I tell a lie. Alex went a Saints win, but no points scored because it was a draw. So it remains me on 9, you on 9, Tim on 6, and Alex on 2. Wife Wars, Kev.
Wife Wars. Okay. So nobody got an exact score. Marina thought Saints were going to win, so she stays on 9 points.
That's shocking because Gemma always goes 0-0.
Exactly. The one time she doesn't go 0-0, it's a 0-0. So, yeah, Gemma stays second on 8 points, but Abby and Caitlin with a correct result score 2 points each.
What did Gemma go for, by the way?
She went for a 2-0 West Ham win.
Super Six, then. Still join our league, by the way. I see there's new people joining all the time. So if you want to find out our code, I'll give you the code right now if you like. It's YZLCSM. So, yeah, join the league. Your points will be rolled over. No problem. Round 6 was won by James Mitchell with 12 points, which left the overall lead to Colin Carter with 61. I was sat in third place on 46 points, if you're interested. But then round 7 happened yesterday. Yasmin Wiseman wins that with 16 points. An overall lead, Colin Carter still hangs on with 69. And I'm still in third, actually, on 52 points. So I'm pleased with my performance this season. I'm not, however, pleased with my fantasy football this season. So, yeah, Kev, how's everything going with fantasy football?
Yeah, can we not?
We can just not talk about us. That's fine.
Yeah, just bin it off. You know, I'm taking it less and less seriously every season. Just because when you think it can't get any worse, yeah, your captain gets sent off. Well, you know.
I made a mistake with Sofal, though. I put him on the bench and I put Wan-Bissaka in instead, thinking that, you know, that would be a best option. But Sofal scores 6 and Wan-Bissaka scores me 2. So, yeah, not happy with that.
Yeah. Not only is my team shit, it's also worthless. All of my players seem to be losing value as well. me 31 points below average this week so far.
I got 45 points.
That's not too bad, is it?
It's not great.
It looks like Freddie's sneaking his way to the top of our Podders League. 46 points for the week, putting him on 282. So Matt's 270. And in the big league. Okay, so our top three looks like follows. Lucy Hynett in third, crying without Ings, 295. Bobby Brown's Magical Saints on 304. And Sam Toomer with Haven't Jota Clue, 307.
Has he got Jota in his team?
New entry.
It's like the no, chance. He hasn't. Oh, that's bad. See, mine's called Pain in Diaz, so I have to have Diaz. It just has to be done. If I take him out, I change the team name. It just won't work. I've got no need to take him out next week anyway, have I? Because he's definitely going to get a clean sheet.
He has done what a lot of people have done and brought in Ronaldo and captained him, which worked out well. Have you not considered that?
I did consider it, but I don't think... I mean, I've got Salah and Fernandez anyway. So I thought I'm going to have to take one of those out because they're worth a lot. And Fernandez did me well yesterday. I captained him, so... I don't know. It's probably a good idea. Let's face it, he's going to play. But I just figured at his age, he's not going to play a lot more than Salah or Bruno.
So yeah.
That was my reasoning.
But I guess we've been slightly proven wrong so far.
Yeah, I think he's just going to prove everybody wrong, isn't he? Did you see the speed he ran at? 36 years old. My goodness. Clocked over 20 miles an hour, apparently.
And yeah, sharp as a tack.
Yeah. Russian phrase, Kevin.
Yes. So this week's Russian phrase is pod malatkami.
Pod malatkami.
Pod malatkami.
Pod malatkami. Pod malatkami.
Under the hammers.
Okay. Right. Okay. Perfect. Under the hammers. Before we go, I just want to mention our Buy Me a Coffee. A reminder again, if you appreciate what we do and feel like that you want to buy us a pint or feel like we're worth a pint, then please head over to buymeacoffee.com/in that number. It would be really, really well appreciated. Least of all, I mean, because we spend a lot of time doing this, don't we, Kev? And that takes up a lot of our day and we do piss off our wives quite a bit. So yeah. That's got to be worth a pint.
At least a swift half each.
At least, yeah. Next week, we'll be looking into the City game, and we have two games to preview as our return to the Carabao Cup, Sheffield United, of course, and then the home game on the 26th against Wolves the following Sunday. That will be live on Sky, by the way. So until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.